So there was a song that was popular a few decades back called "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." I guess, has anyone sung that? Yeah, in different verses went, we used to sing it in youth group gatherings. You know, we'll work with each other, we'll work side by side, and we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride, and they will know that we are Christians by our love. This was the youth group song in the Virginia Synod where I grew up, and I'll never forget the Synod Assembly when the bishop stood up and said to, you know, hundreds of gathered people, mostly adults but some youth, you know, there's a real problem with that song that our youth love to sing. And that's that just by seeing a loving act, you don't necessarily have to conclude that someone is Christian, after all. Atheists can be the type of people who will change tires for their neighbors or volunteer with big brothers, big sisters. And it's a good thing, he said, that all kinds of people can do good deeds because it does help the world go round. Well, that totally burst our bubble. But there is a way, I think, of speaking of specifically Christian love, and that's the kind of love that Jesus talks about in today's gospel reading, specifically the love of enemies, the love that gives without hope of receiving anything in return. Just as I was reading it to you a few minutes ago, I didn't realize just how radical the whole thing sounded, even though I've been looking at it all week, but somehow saying it all out loud, I was just struck by the heavy hittingness of it. Love your enemies. Pray for those who speak unkindly to you. Don't just lend to those from whom you hope to receive something. If we want to talk about what it means to love as Christians, we're going to have to talk about all of this stuff. Because Jesus was particularly clear, at least I feel like this gospel lesson at least puts it out there for consideration. Jesus makes it particularly clear that there are going to be people who are not going to walk hand in hand with us, and who are not going to walk side by side with us on this journey of faith. In fact, he's pretty clear that there are going to be people out there who are going to oppose our attempts to follow God's will, people who may even try to use physical violence against us, or who would try to take advantage of our money or our stuff or our time or our goodwill or our labor. Many of us, I think, can probably look into our minds and our hearts and imagine what those people look like. And if you've ever felt like you have had an enemy, it perhaps can feel rather difficult to think about loving them. What in the world does Jesus mean by this? What in the world does Jesus mean when he says, pray for those who abuse you? Now, before we dig too deeply into this question, I have to offer one caveat. There are some who have read this lesson of Jesus, these words of his, and have come to believe that it means that we should just not resist evil whatsoever. That we should, in fact, allow people to walk all over us. That we should not confront abusive or evil behavior. In fact, there are some in the Christian tradition, for example, who have used this kind of passage to counsel those who are in abusive marriages to stay there and just pray yourself out of it, I guess. And I want to be clear that that's not what this text is suggesting. In fact, that is not its context. A God who loves us, a God who wants good things for us, does not want us to be walked over and does not want us to be hurt. This passage is not telling us that our safety and our well-being don't matter. What it is saying is that we need to attend to the mindset that we have as we confront evil. It is attending to our own sense of what it means to be human and a beloved child of God interacting with a very, very fallen world, but interacting with it on terms that are pleasing to God. So what it's telling us is that our mindset matters, even about people who would do us harm, even about people that do things that we don't like. We have to keep ourselves safe. We have to work to confront evil in our midst. But how we do that matters. This past week, I read a really interesting book about a man who gave his life to trying to do that. It's a book called Reconcile, Conflict Transformation for Ordinary Christians. And it's by a Mennonite professor named John Paul Lederach. He worked through on five different continents as a peace builder and a mediator. And in this book, he describes three stages of making an enemy. First, you have to separate yourself, he says, from the person or group that is causing you problems. And then secondly, you have to assert that there's a fundamental difference between you and them. You develop an us and them mentality. Then second, you have to assume that there's some fundamental, that you are somehow superior, that the we in the us is somehow superior to the them, completely losing sight of our sameness as human beings. And then the third and final coup de grace in making an enemy, he says, is that we dehumanize those others over whom we are superior, using language that compares them to monsters or insects or flattens them into criminals. When we do that, Lederach says, we lose our common perspective as human beings made in God's image. That's the mindset we're to attend to. Loving our enemies first and foremost means not dehumanizing them. And Lederach describes a very specific instance of how this happened in his own life. He was in the airport in Honduras while he was working on negotiating a peace settlement to the civil war in Nicaragua when a Honduran colonel came into the airport and was just all over the place, sort of swaggering around, wearing his Ray-Bans, a really expensive suit. And John Paul was just sitting there looking at him, thinking to himself, like, gosh, I wonder what kind of, horrific raid he was out on this morning. Imagining he's the perfect Rambo. Imagining how horrible this person must have been. Until he discovered that colonel was waiting for the same flight from the United States that he was waiting for. And the colonel ran out to the airplane when the plane landed and went on. And John Paul looked at the window, just curious to see what on earth was this man going to do? What armed fighter was he going to bring in from the United States to make this conflict even worse? When he saw him get off the plane, he noticed that this colonel, about whom he had been thinking such terrible thoughts, was carrying a 10-year-old girl, her legs in splints. And when he removed his Ray-Bans, he caught sight of John Paul's face and their eyes locked, and John Paul realized, this man, about whom I thought such terrible things, is a father just like now, this moment of recognizing this man's humanity did not mean that John Paul Lederach and his team stopped their work of trying to bring peace to that troubled region. Rather, it changed the way that he viewed the work of peace building. Mindset matters. To love one's enemies means to not lose sight of their humanness, of the image of God in them. This is the hard work to which Jesus commands us. Later, Lederach wrote, "What scares me most is not how different I am, but rather how I see and feel a bit of myself in each person, both victims of violence and creators of violence. I find this love your enemies thing hard to practice, yet this is my belief. I cannot create an enemy when I look for and find that of God in another." Be merciful, Jesus said, as your Father is merciful. It is very hard to practice. The process of making enemies, separate yourself, elevate yourself, dehumanize the other. It's a well-worn path in our minds and our hearts. It's why passages like this, I think, strange as they are to read out loud, take us directly to Jesus' cross and to the one who's hanging there. It has to, because on our own, we cannot possibly fulfill these commands that Jesus gives us. And it's only under the cross that we discover that we share something in common with all humanity, that all of us are sinners. Even though Jesus, I think, in this passage tries to say, hey, you know, even sinners do the same, you know, even sinners lend to those who expect from them. I think somewhere underneath there, we're meant to say, well, yeah, I'm a sinner too. All of us are sinners, and all of us have been enemies of God's word, of Jesus' way of living, of Jesus' way of being. And it's just standing there knowing that we are the ones who need God's forgiveness. And we come to discover that fundamentally we're no better and no worse than anyone else. But it's there that God forgives us. That God shows how much he loves us. That God proves that he doesn't want the last word on our lives to be sin and enmity. As Son of God, Jesus really was different than us. He really was superior to us in every way, and yet he did not count that superiority as a thing to hoard. But he emptied himself, humbling himself. He didn't dehumanize us. He became human like us, and he recognized and he embraced his sameness with us. He took on the status of a servant to us. To go back to the words of the song, before we can show that we are Christians by our love for our enemies, we have to be made into Christians by his love. But because we do get, by his grace, to be drawn under his cross, under the shadow of his wings, because we get to stand in that place where God has ended the cycle of violence forever, he gives us grace so we don't have to continue it. We can find ways to keep ourselves safe and to seek peace without tearing down the humanity of another. And sometimes, simply the best way to do that is to lift up the people who cause us pain in prayer. Downstairs, our children are taking little paper hearts and are writing the names of people that they don't like on them and hanging them on a cross as a sign of prayer. Sometimes it's the very best gift that we can give, and the very best gift that we can receive, to offer those who cause us such pain right back to the God who made them, and to pray that God will transform our own hearts in dealing with them. Sometimes the best gift that we can give is to admit that we are weak in loving our enemies, and so commend them to the one who loves us all. Faced with evil, it's the strongest thing we can do. Amen.